This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture with me, T. Xiaoyi, Kelly Anisa and Sharmila Gunnison.
So first up, it is World Micro SME Day. So why is this day significant and how are young micro and SME owners rising to the challenge? More on that in our first story.
And after that, we'll be looking at news that in US immigration detention centers, children separated from their parents are living in filthy conditions and being subjected to extreme neglect. Not only that, children as young as 7 or 8 years old are taking care of the younger toddlers. So we'll be looking at this harrowing story.
Yes, and on social media, we will be discussing the detention centers. And, you know, if you have any thoughts on that or even World Micro SME Day, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
Meanwhile, here's Tears for Fears with Mad World.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Tears for Fears with Mad World. And first up,
it's World Micro SME Day. So today we will be taking a look at young SME owners. But before that, here is a quick hari ni dalam sejarah on, you know, what this day is really about.
Yeah, because I had no idea there was such a day that, we commemorated.
And yeah.
Now that I think about it, it probably is significant because of the sheer number of SMEs that that operate in the economy.
And because they're so different from how the larger corporations would run.
I mean, I had no idea what it was either. So this is for all the Kellys out there. Well, firstly, SME stands for Small to Medium Enterprise. So since 2017, micro, small and medium-sized businesses celebrate this day in recognition of their work in local and global economies. So these enterprises, which generally employ fewer than 250 people, are the backbone of most economies worldwide and they play a key role in developing countries like Malaysia.
Yeah, so the UN General Assembly recognized the importance of these enterprises and so decided to declare the 27th of June as the Micro, Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises Day to raise public awareness of these enterprises' contribution to sustainable development.
I just wanted to say that really rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
I know, like it's so easy to say. And it doesn't help that when you shorten it and then it becomes micro SMEs, it's actually micro, SMEs, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Remember to read it. So micro, small and medium enterprises are vital in achieving the sustainable development goals that the UN has come up with, especially in promoting innovation, creativity and the opportunity for decent work for everyone. So why is this so significant to us in particular? Well, surprisingly, SMEs account for 98.5% of businesses in Malaysia.
Wow.
So this actually totals up to 907,065 establishments of small medium enterprises right here in Malaysia itself, which is a huge number.
Yeah. Almost a million. I mean, if you think about it, yes, everywhere we look, a lot of the services, products that we rely on come from SMEs. And, you know, right down to the very fundamental types, like the suppliers of parts that make your cars, for instance, you know, or that make your tables, your phone, everything. But do we really know how SMEs are categorized? And that really depends on which sector you come under, apparently. So they split it up into the manufacturing sector and the services and other sectors. So if you're in the manufacturing sector, an SME is defined as a firm with no more than 200 full-time employees or with sales turnover not exceeding 50 million ringgit, that's per year. And if you're in the services and other sectors, SMEs are firms with no more than 75 full-time employees or with sales turnover not exceeding 20 million ringgit.
Yeah, so the definition covers all sectors, namely services, manufacturing, agriculture, construction, and mining and quarrying. So micro enterprises, however, only consist of less than 5 full-time employees.
Yeah, so I suppose even all your, you know, machi who sells kueh, mm-hmm. You know, your small businesses, yeah. As long as they're a registered enterprise, mm-hmm. But they're less than 5 people, you're a micro enterprise. Stay-at-home businesses even.
Yeah.
All those. I think, like you said, all the nasi lemak shops, mm-hmm. those are examples. So SMEs also get a corporate tax cut of 17%. And they can also apply for financial support initiatives offered by different ministries that you can find online. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are, however, conditions to qualify for these benefits.
So unfortunately, one of the things that ends up happening is that many young people who do have online businesses today don't always formalize their businesses, you know, for various reasons. Sometimes it's just viewed as being too difficult to do it.
The hoops that you have to jump through. Yeah.
Sometimes it's as simple as not wanting to be taxed, perhaps. Mm. You know, so there are many reasons why. But what then happens is that it also makes it difficult for them to obtain government assistance. And to sort of access this kind of support that the government has made available. Mm. And this was actually pointed out by a representative from the SME Corp a while back. So if you go on Instagram today, for example, there are plenty of businesses that are being run by young people. Social media is sort of a huge driver in all of this.
Yeah.
In fact, Alibaba founder Jack Ma has spoken actually about this internet generation in what he calls his 30-30-30 vision, mm-hmm. where he advised for people to pay attention to the 30-year-olds who are the internet generation, and to the small businesses with less than 30 employees, because he thinks that they will be integral to the world.
And will one day become the Jack Ma's
of
the world. Yeah.
So I did speak to a young SME owner earlier today, Daniel Lau. He's not quite 30 years old yet, but he is one of the co-founders of a local production house, The Beat Creatives, who also does a lot of online content. So we spoke about some of the challenges they face as young entrepreneurs. And, you know, here is that conversation. So, Daniel, tell me a little bit about your business. You know, what is it that you guys do?
So, we're a video production company. The way I put it to people who don't really know what that is that we make the really annoying ads on YouTube. So, like, the ads that you skip after 5 seconds, now you know, like, who makes them. I think we're about 2 years old now, coming on in July, and we started with three of us in my living room, and now we're 13 people. Some of us are actually, when we started, we were still in college. So, like, it was basically just like a no funding startup.
Right. And, you know, what do you think are some of the challenges enterprises like yours face, you know, not just, you know, as a medium enterprise, but also as young entrepreneurs?
Ooh, yeah. I think the biggest problems that we had back in the day was just general knowledge about business. So, like, being a startup owner, you come from very different industries. Like, not every startup owner is a business background or a business major. I used to be a journalism major. My friend used to be a mass communications major. I have friends who are IT majors. We don't know anything about accounting, cash flow, finance, sales. So you kind of have to educate yourself slowly on those things. Like, I think a good starting point is actually BFM. If you listen to it every day, you kind of latch on to things. They say things like PE ratios, things like cash flow, things like earnings, revenue, profit margin. You kind of start, then you move to the edge, then you start reading the Wall Street Journal, and then after that, you can kind of sort through annual reports yourself, things like that. I think the business itself is rather simple, because when you run a business, you just focus on two things. It's really just sales and then finding the production, the capability to meet that demand. But I think a major problem was the bureaucracy that we had to deal with in the beginning, especially being like, I think when I started this, we were 22 years old, 23 years old, and my partner was still in college. So we did not know anything of statutory payments like EPF, SOXO. We didn't know anything about vendor documentation. We didn't know anything about accounting or audit. So fortunately, we can now afford to hire an accountant to consult on these things. But back in the day, you kind of had to deal with LHDN. You had KWSP. You had SOXO. And you just don't know how to navigate it.
And so, you know, business experience and building a strong network with the right connections are, you know, the kind of stuff that you gain from years of working experience in the industry. And so, like you said, you just, you and your business partner only started it about 2 years ago, right? Like fresh out of college. How do you make up for that lack of experience, you know, especially considering the fact that you ventured into this industry at such a young age?
I think a big weakness is definitely network. So you don't know many people in the industry. You haven't spoken to a lot of people. You don't have friends who can give you that sale. They don't know of your company, basically. Mm. So the only way you can get around that and how we did was frankly just cold calls, like a lot of cold calls, like thousands of them. And then there's tens of thousands of emails.
Right.
So the way you start is just a numbers game. If you get 1,000 phone calls in, probably two of them, three of them is a sale. And the way you go about it is you just go on Facebook, look for their general line, ask for the marketing department. If you're a manufacturer, you ask for the procurement department. You ask for the IT department if you're selling software. It just depends on what you're selling. You ask for that department. You hope and pray for an email address that you can pass them your contact and portfolio for. And that's basically it. As long as you have a thick enough skin and a really, you know, a hard enough heart, you're good.
Mm. And you know, how did you get you know, some of your clients to come on board and to trust this company, especially when you were just starting up?
That was a huge problem, because when you walk into a room and they see you're 22 years old, it doesn't actually give you a lot of credibility with clients. So you don't walk into a room and announce that you're the managing director of a two-person company. when you start off, you write your official position as project coordinator or project manager on your name card rather than general manager, because it's hard to take somebody who is 22 years old with the title of managing director on your name card very seriously. You kind of just make yourself to be bigger than you are, because I think if you start a business, you have to have a significant portfolio or some amount of experience that you think would qualify you to be pitching for that project in the first place. So you focus on the work and then you make them feel like you are capable of doing it. It's mostly about reading people and then convincing them, speaking to them and pushing them to come in, because a lot of the time is you need to ask for things. Because a lot of people are afraid of confrontation, they're afraid of rejection and negotiation. Things like salary is an awkward conversation. Mm. Things like quotations is an awkward conversation. You just have to just have at it, pull off the Band-Aid and speak and ask for things.
And I just want to go further into that, you know, about some of the common misconceptions, you know, other people or some of the clients that you've had to work with. What are some of those misconceptions people have about young entrepreneurs?
I honestly can't think of any misconception that clients may have of us, because I think the misconceptions are honestly on the part of young entrepreneurs. Because I think statistically something like 9 out of 10 startups fail within the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. So chances are that your first, second, or even third startup isn't going to be very successful. But for some reason, people just keep going into it. It's like the lottery or the stock market. It's all the same. Everybody thinks they're going to beat the odds. But when we started, we thought it was going to be just like a six-month thing, and then we're going to close up shop. We're just going to make money and then stop, but here we are 2 years later. So it's a lot of luck involved as well. It's not just competency. It's not just product. It's working hard, definitely, but also there is a lot of luck involved, because there is really just, you get clients from the weirdest of places. I remember being at a shoot. One of our talents was a small child, and her mother turned out to be this marketing director of a very big company, and we managed to land that sale. So your sales and your the success of your company is not just hard work. It's a lot of luck involved.
And what kind of social role can young entrepreneurs play today when it comes to empowering other youths in society?
I think personally, that's not really our role to play right now. You do give advice where it's possible, especially when you know the subject matter. But in regards to social roles, I think the best social role somebody can play is frankly just running your business and doing the best you can for your employees, because producing is basically, if you run your business well, your employees are basically getting better opportunities, your partners are happier, the money that they make can be spent in their communities, things like that. So I don't think too much about the overall social role of our business. It's more like just building the business. And by building the business, you make lives better through your employees and partners and clients, of course.
Do you have a parting message on, you know, for any young entrepreneurs or any other aspiring entrepreneurs who might be listening?
Yeah, sure. So sometimes it can get really dark. So because as an entrepreneur, I think your emotions are very much tied to the performance of your company. Mm. And the performance of your company can go up and down based off the month. So your sales might be 2,000 a month, and then it might be 100,000 the next. So I think you need to see the forest for the trees, like see past all that. Think in 1 year spans rather than 1 week or 1 month spans. Because when in the beginning, that's how I thought, and it was just really depressing. So think in long term. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Daniel.
Hey, no problem.
So that was Daniel Lau. Daniel is one of the co-founders of a local SME, The Beat Creatives, which is a production house. So the Ministry of Entrepreneur Development has set a target to produce 1 million SME entrepreneurs, including those from the B40 group, within the next few years. So it's nice to see that, you know, lots of young people taking charge and creating these opportunities for themselves. And I mean, hopefully in the next few years, we get to see more of that.
Maybe we'll see young Kelly start a business of her own.
What will it be? Memes?
I'll start another radio station.
An SME? Oh, wait.
The look on her face. Well, for our next story, we're asking you on Twitter. I mean, we're asking you to chime in on Twitter as well as on WhatsApp. We'll be discussing the detention centers in the United States and recent news about the awful way that the children in these facilities are being treated. So you can tweet us at BFM Radio if you have any thoughts. Also, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. We'll just go for a quick break. Stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.